Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It is Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi, and we really are live here at Two Brothers Smoked Meats as part of the Not Fall Camp Tour presented by Pearl River Resort. Thunder and Lightning is presented by Yingling Flight, and we are brought to you by the good folks over at Dossett Big Ford. Yingling Flight, the newest beer from America's oldest brewery. Crisp, clean, and brewed for today's beer drinker. Only 2.6 carbs. That's a good thing for me. Means I can enjoy a Yingling Flight on any Mississippi game day, and I will. Yingling Flight. Next time you're looking for a crisp, refreshing light beer, make it a flight by Yingling. What a day it has been here at the Not Fall Camp Tour. Big thanks to my friends Richard Cross and Michael Borky for being here with me. And, of course, to Alex and Houston for making everything happen. Thanks to all of our guests, Coach Brian O'Connor, Coach Chris Jans, Coach Sam Purcell, my good friend Charlie Winfield dropped by. But and we will later in the show, actually in the next after the next break, we're going to replay my interview with Coach Jeff Lebby. We'll talk some football. We'll go into depth about what he had to say. But I would be remiss without going back and talking about Zach Selman's appearance here on Sports Talk Mississippi just a little bit earlier. Calm down back there. So if you've listened to this show and if you've listened to the Thunder and Lightning podcast, you know that Robbie Falk and I have talked in great detail about uniforms at times. And it's a topic that I don't have the same passion for it that some of our Mississippi State's fans do. I 100% agree that I would love to see a return to those 98 uniforms full-time. I think that's State's best-looking uniform. I also, as I told Zach Selman, am fully on board with the branding of Mississippi State as State. And I'm a supporter of the State Script logo. But I understand the fan base's desire to have that interlocking MSU back on the helmet. And I think that's what Mississippi State should do. I think you can have both. You know, something we say all the time on this show and on the podcast is that two things can be true at the same time. You can keep that State script and keep that branding of State and yet still change your helmet decal. And Selman tried. He tried to poker face me, but he was unsuccessful in that. As we were talking, he just had a little grin, little turn up of the corner of his mouth as he talked about listening to the fans, hearing what the fans say, knowing what's important to fans, knowing that those things are important to them. Guys, I don't want to be the guy that talks out of school and tells you one thing and something else comes to pass, but I will be pretty darn shocked if at some point this season we don't see an interlocking helmet and a 98 style uniform making a return to Mississippi State. And that's great news for two reasons. One, I think when we talk about State, a lot of people, when they get involved with this kind of stuff, they talk about branding. That is the brand of Mississippi State. That is what people outside of the Mississippi State fan base, you show that uniform to a fan of almost any college football team, and they'll point to, oh, that's Mississippi State. I know who that is. The other thing is this, and I've said it 100 times on this show, and I'll say it again. I understand that the majority of the fan base could give a flip about uniforms, to quote John Carrero. They just don't care. Maybe 80, 85, maybe even as high as 90% of the fan base literally doesn't care. As long as it's maroon and white, they're fine. But you have a 10%. And look, 10% of what, 100,000-plus people? That's a real number. And those people give money, and they make donations, and they buy merchandise. And so what I would tell you is you're best served making good for them. That's my opinion. Because, again, if the 90% that doesn't care, they'll show up and buy whatever you say. They don't care. That 10% wants something specific, and it doesn't really cost you that much to make those kind of changes. I think that's the way to go. So I was pleasantly surprised by Selman's comments, by Selman's reaction. We gave him one of our Gentile hoodies with the interlocking MSU logo, and he said he liked it. He really liked that logo. I thought that was great. Big day for Gentile here in Starkville, by the way. That the box O goodies is completely empty. We gave it all away as far as our hoodies and polos, all of our Super Talk hats. I know some of our great listeners picked up a golf weekend. Some of them picked up just a weekend and a meal over at Philip M's. Glad to give that stuff away. Hopefully I gave away some hope to Mississippi State fans today, because, you know, Richard asked, what is the mood here in Starkville? And you can't help but, as you get closer and closer to the start of the season, you get closer and closer to kickoff, you can't help but get optimistic, right? Even if your team is Mississippi State and a team that was 2-10 last year, you can't help but start talking yourself into, well, you know, maybe if they win this game and then they win this game and next thing you know, this, that. And you've talked yourself into, well, if they're 4-0, they could be 5-0 when they're playing Tennessee. Tennessee's not that great. And well, then they go to Texas. You've talked yourself into whatever. I feel like in my conversations with Lebby, which you're going to hear in just a few minutes, my conversation with Coleman Hutzler, they know for a fact they've upgraded the roster to a point where being competitive, not just game to game, but down to down, play to play, is something that's viable. It was not a year ago. You couldn't be competitive for all four quarters with the roster State had a season ago. You know, and I'm not a year zero guy. I never buy into year zero talk because, you know, the games count, right? Lebby doesn't get to just write that 2-10 off of his record. But what I would say is that Lebby was put into a situation where it would have been difficult for any college football coach to come in here with the roster that you had in year one. Now, I understand that he could have done more to improve that roster. Perhaps that's the case. But with what he had, I'm not saying he got the maximum out of it either. I want to make that clear. There was no excuse to lose to Toledo the way they did a season ago. There was no excuse to lose to Arkansas the way they did a season ago. That's not a talent issue. That was bigger than that. By and large, though, this team is better in 2025. They have more depth at every position. They have SEC caliber players, guys who could be potential all SEC guys when we get to the end of the season. You just didn't have those guys last year. Other than Isaac Smith, who did you have? You know, people will say Kevin Coleman, but I would say that in the Jeff Lebby offense, slot receiver X is a all-SEC player. I don't care who that guy is. He's going to catch 70 passes. And that's just the way that it's been since day one with Jeff Lebby. So, by and large, I understand the cautious optimism. Now, if you looked at the Mississippi State media poll, and you would see that I'm going to play wait and see very much on that game. I'm not going to go out on those limbs this year. I went out on a limb 2 years ago. Why? I didn't think I was going out on a limb when I said that 2023 was going to be an 8-win season, but I was wrong. I didn't think I was going out on a limb last year when I said they're going to go 6-6. I was wrong. I'm going to stay towards the base of the tree this year. I would rather be looking up in November and just going, guys, I was wrong. This is a great football team. They're going to win 7 or 8 games. I would much rather do that than, just for me personally, than to come out here in August and tell you that they're going to be this great football team, and then we look up in November and they're looking for 4 wins. I would rather just let it play out. So I'm optimistic they're going to be better. I don't know if I'm optimistic that the record's going to be better. The good news is we're going to get to watch the games. We're going to get to find out if I'm right or wrong. And the real good news is, if you're a Mississippi State fan, and I've been saying this over and over again, you're going to know quickly. You're going to know by the end. But when we get to halftime in Hattiesburg, when we're at M.M. Roberts, we're at The Rock, if at the halftime, if you could tell me right now what the halftime score is, I'll tell you right now what I think Mississippi State's final record will be. That's how soon we're going to know. So I'm excited for kickoff. That's the other thing, though. Optimism, it can take or leave optimism, but my love and my hope and my excitement for the college football season is never ending. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Dossett Big Ford. Three generations of serving their community in North Mississippi, building a legacy of trust and exceptional customer service. When you count comes to keeping your vehicle running smoothly, you can count on Dossett Big Ford's award-winning service department. Whether you're dreaming of a new GMC, a new Buick, a new Honda, the friendly team at Dossett Big Ford is ready to help you find the perfect fit. So don't wait. Find your next vehicle today. Visit them online at DossettBigFord.com, or you can stop by their convenient location at 628 South Closter Street in Tupelo. Dossett Big Ford, your family-owned destination for 46 years of great vehicles and award-winning service. When we come back, earlier today, I talked to Coach Jeff Lebby. He's excited, and you're going to hear that in his voice. It's the Not Fall Camp Tour presented by Pearl River Resort. We'll be back on Thunder and Lightning in just a moment.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Live here on Sports Talk Mississippi on the Not Fall Camp Tour. And I'm glad to be joined right now by Coach Jeff Lebby. Coach, you got to be down with Not Fall. This is not fall. It's 90 degrees outside.
Yeah, but we've actually gotten pretty fortunate.
Yeah, it's been better than it normally is, yes.
It's better than normal. So our guys have really, they've gotten a break, I think. And hopefully, I'm hoping it's going to heat up a little bit for us here in the next 7 to 10 days.
It's going to definitely heat up when we get to August 30th down there in Hattiesburg. I'll just go ahead and feel that one coming. I haven't had a chance yet to watch the SEC documentary any given Saturday, but I want to read a tweet to you from Blaine Crane, who's a podcaster. I'm watching the SEC Any Given Saturday series, and the only thing I've gotten from it so far is that Jeff Lebby's son has an absolute cannon. I want the scouting report on Kane Lebby.
Yeah, my man can spin it a little bit. I do think there's probably a better chance that he's going to be throwing it between his legs than catching the snap and throwing it somewhere else. But we'll see how it plays out.
But we'll continue to evaluate. Is that what we're going to say?
That's exactly right.
All right. So, you know, my job and people like me, my job is we're critical of you sometimes, right? You make a decision, and however it goes, I get to talk about the result rather than the process that made the decision. I'm going to let you turn it around a little bit here. What's something that people like me in the media, we think, we do, we say we know about football that we just don't know?
Yeah, I think it's just when you deal with people inside the building and you see how invested and how bought in and the day-to-day and how they're fighting and scratching and clawing for every single inch, I think the outside world and the outside noise they don't get to see that, and they don't understand that piece of it. And, you know, my job is to know people and to evaluate people, and there's situations that have gone on, I think, inside the first 18 months where, there was some noise. But at the end of the day, man, I could not be more convicted about the people inside the building and how everybody here, man, we're pulling the rope the same way. And so I think that's one example of our day to day that not everybody gets to see.
Another thing with this documentary is you get to see what coaches are like in the locker room, and you can see some of that pregame motivation. What is the Jeff Lebby motivational style?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're trying to find ways to create confidence, but also understand that it's still a game of doing, you know, and it's not a false sense of confidence. It's, man, we've prepared and we're ready, and you got to go make the play. It's a game of doing, but always trying to find ways to get the best out of every single one of those guys in the locker room.
So something you say a lot is, you know, we know what it's supposed to look like. That's a Lebbyism, if you will. So we're 2 weeks into this camp. You just had your first scrimmage. Do you feel like it looks like it's supposed to look like?
We've got a ton of work to do. I think there's been incredible improvement. And so I've tried to fight like heck for the guys to make sure that we all understand The only comparisons is really each and every one of us of ourselves yesterday. Are we truly better today than we were yesterday? And that's the only thing I want to be able to compare to. And so our guys have, they've taken to that. We're in a much different place today than we were a year ago today. I'm not talking about that with the team at all, because it's about what's next. It's about August 30th in Hattiesburg. And we are, man, we're trying to get one day better. It's that simple, but it's hard for young people to see that and accomplish that every day.
So when you talk about improvement, is there a player or maybe a position group that has been a surprise to you as how much they've improved from day one of this camp to today?
Yeah, I just think it's been really good seeing the defensive line come together and seeing that group and the improvement that we had to have that's happening. And again, we've got a ton of work to do. We're not where we want to be or need to be, but we are so different at that position than we were a year ago. And so that for me is exciting.
I was thinking the other day about quarterbacks in their second year with you. You know, I think about the leap that Matt Corral had when you were at Ole Miss, then Dylan Gabriel at Oklahoma. Now Blake Shapen in his second year with you. Is there something that you've seen from him in practice where you're like, man, he didn't have a great grasp on that a year ago, but now he really does?
Yeah, I think with just the tempo part of it and how fast we have to make decisions pre-snap, and then post-snap as things are changing and pictures are changing, that piece of it in our normal down offense, he's just gotten a ton better. He's gotten a lot more comfortable. You've got to live those things. I've talked a little bit about this, but man, as hard as it was a year ago to go through what we went through, to have him back for year two is going to be special and going to be fun. And I got all the confidence in the world that he's going to go play his butt off for us.
All right. Last night, or yesterday afternoon, I guess I should say, you had your first scrimmage of the preseason camp. Normally when we talk to you, right, you got to say, you know, I got to watch the film. I'm going to assume you've watched the film at this point in the day. What were your thoughts on what you saw on the scrimmage?
Yeah, the things that stood out were really, again, offensively not taking care of the football the way we need to. I talked about that a little bit last night. That was the immediate part of the scrimmage. I loved the effort on both sides of the football. I thought there was real physicality on both sides of the football, which we needed to see. And those two things really stuck out. You know, just having the ability to be able to go execute a little cleaner, regardless of the group that was in there. You know, there's three different groups going through last night's scrimmage, and the expectation is, man, regardless of who's on the field, you go execute at a really high level to give us an opportunity to go win. And so not all of it was the ones, not all of it was the threes, not all of it was the twos, but it was, you know, it was a combination of all, and we've got to do a great job of taking care of the football. But on the flip side, I loved seeing the defense make plays, create negatives, and be able to create some turnovers that we're going to have.
As a coach, how do you balance the good and the bad in the scrimmage? I always think, you know, okay, it's great this guy had a 75-yard touchdown catch. It means the defensive back probably made a mistake and got beat there. How do you balance bad and good in a scrimmage?
You want give and take. You do. You want to be able to have good moments on both sides of the football and teams, but you want teachable moments too. And so I do. I think even in the good moments, you have the ability to coach off of and have teachable moments inside the good things. And then when they're bad, man, be able to create some urgency in correcting it. And so there's great give and take. You want give and take. You don't want a lopsided camp, that's for sure. And up to this point, nine practices in, we really have gotten that.
I want to ask you about one of your players who we saw the highlight yesterday of, Kelly Jones with the scoop and score. There's not a lot of 6'4" cornerbacks walking the earth today. That's a player you would think with his size, if it all comes together for him, he could have a long career. You know, his development this fall, what have you thought about it?
He's gotten better and better. And Kelly's a guy that, again, you think about playing high school QB and coming into the system, and he does. He's got all this great football ahead of him. Got to continue to dial in to the fundamentals and the technique of the position. He is everything you want. He's got great length. He's got great speed. He loves to play the game. He does. He just got to continue to strain from a fundamental standpoint, and he has. He's gotten better and better. Love where he's trending.
I think one of the biggest things that fans want to get out of these camps is they want to get an idea of what the depth chart looks like. They want to see that two deep each and every week. for a coach, how quickly does the depth chart come together for you? Do you come in with an idea of, like, I think these are going to be the starters, and it changes throughout the camp, or what? How locked in is the depth camp at this depth chart at this point in camp?
Yeah, I think as you look at it, there's certain positions that you kind of know how things are going to sort itself out. And then there's some positions where today, as we sit here this morning about to get ready for meetings, man, there's great competition at these positions. Maybe it ends up being two guys to make one spot, or somebody goes ahead and pulls away. But there's still great competition. There's great competition in the offensive line room right now. I think there's great competition after Zico in the tight end room, which we've needed. We've got great competition and depth at running back. And so a couple of positions on offense where those guys, again, I feel like we've got guys that have the ability to go play winning football. How many of those guys go play is yet to be determined.
Do you go from camp mode to game week mode before game week?
We will. So we'll go this week, this entire week. We'll be camp mode still. And then as we get into next week, that's when things will focus more towards, you know, Hattiesburg and getting ready for the 30th.
What's the biggest difference between camp and game modes?
Yeah, I think everything right now is good on good. It's ones on ones, twos on twos, threes on threes, and that's how things are set up. You want great competition, you want fast, physical, tough work, and that's what we're getting. There's a fine line of when that cutoff is, you know, to be able to have the ability to stay healthy. We need another healthy week this week, and that's going to be a huge piece of it. But at the same time, our physicality and the way we practice has got to be what we need to get us ready.
You said the word confidence a little while ago. Let's wrap it up with this. You know, how confident are you in this team to be able to reach the goals that you have set for them this year?
Yeah, I'm confident in the people in the room. I think we've got a group that is talented enough to go do what we need to do to take that next step. You know, and it's like I've talked to the guys nonstop about, belief comes from practice. You know, have an urgency in how we communicate and how we align and how we talk and the physicality that we play with. You know, you don't wake up and create confidence just because of whatever it is. It's got to be done. You got to go fight for it. And our guys are doing that, man. I'm proud of how they've responded 9 days in. It's been a tough physical camp. We need to have another great 6 days.
We'll see how it goes. August the 30th down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi State in Southern Mississippi. For an old guy like me, that's a big game. I don't know how the young kids feel about it, but we'll see where it takes us down there in the Pine Belt. Coach Jeff Lebby, appreciate you joining the Knott Fall Camp Tour, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it, brother. Hail State.
Runners Dev Chevrolet. Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi, the Knott Fall Camp Tour presented by Pearl River Resort. We're here at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Right back behind me, the beautiful Cotton District, the place in Mississippi's college town that you want to be on a football weekend. Also, another thing you want to be doing on a football weekend is enjoying a cold, crisp Yingling flight. Nothing better on game day than the newest beer from America's oldest brewery. Pick some up for your next tailgate or watch party. And the good news is, when you have a Yingling flight, you can have an extra wing. You can have an extra rib because it's only 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. Crisp, refreshing, brewed for those who never settle. Enjoy responsibly. Flight by Yingling. What's up, guys? Appreciate y'all, man. Thank y'all. Hail State. I've been taking photos today. One thing about this job, and that, you know, I never take it for granted, is when people are like, "Can I get a photo?" I'm like, I will always take one. I don't care what the situation is, because it's really humbling. So I appreciate everybody who's come out here today. Appreciate Mississippi State as well. I want to give a big shout-out to my buddy Brandon Langlois, who's the head SID over at Mississippi State. I came to him a couple weeks ago. I was like, this is what we're doing. What can we do? Zach Selman, Chris Jans, Brian O'Connor, Sam Purcell, and got me hooked up with Jeff Lebby and Coleman Hutzler for one-on-ones that you can't hear anywhere else, only here on Super Talk. Really appreciate his help, and appreciate Barton Dinkins, the general manager here at Two Brothers Smoke Meat, Terry Powell, the owner. Great guys. You know, I talk about Two Brothers all the time because they know me here. the older brother right across the way, but great people, and they've given us a great venue. I hope we made them some money today because this place was packed for Sports Talk Mississippi. Will Davis-Wade Stadium be packed soon enough? I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know is this. And again, listening to Jeff Lebby's comments there. Lebby, in my short dealings with him, you know, we're just talking, I've known him now since November of 23, and we, you know, the number of times we've talked together, I can probably count on two hands. The number of times we've talked one-on-one, it's probably, I think it's like three. But the impression I've always gotten from him is that he will, he's not going to come out and be like, look, my team sucks. He's not going to do that. But he will be honest with you. He will be forthright with you and tell you, look, you know, when he says things like, we've got a lot of work to do. We're not where we want to be at that position. We're not, thank you, ma'am. Had to get some wings to take home. Not for me. They're not for me. They're not for me. My daughter was like, Dad, will you bring some wings home? I was like, I absolutely will do that. It's Wing Wednesday, too, here at Two Brothers. So, Lebby will, it's not really even coach speak as much as he just has a way of letting you know that, hey, you know, and you heard it a lot last year. If you go back and listen to his press conferences, he was pretty upfront about, you know, this is not where we want to be. I did an interview earlier this week, too, or maybe it was last week. They were asking about the Any Given Sunday, the SEC documentary that's on Netflix right now. And basically they said, you know, if you watch the post-game locker room, and they filmed that around the Texas A&M game here at Mississippi State. That's a game that State was in the game, had some opportunities, but just couldn't get enough stops and couldn't get enough scores and couldn't pull the game, couldn't pull a win out. And if you watch the highlights of that or watch the footage, Lebby comes in the locker room and he's very, I don't know if tender is the right word, but he was very, he was just good to his team. I mean, a lot of coaches in that situation would have walked in, thrown the Gatorade around and yelled and cursed and said this, that, and the other. And so the question that I got was, you know, do you think that that's who he is as a coach? And what I said was, I think that Lebby is smart enough to know when he needs to be a jerk and when he needs to be good, when he needs to be the good guy. He knows how to play good guy, bad guy, and he can play both sides of that coin. And so he knew that his team in that moment was hurting, that they had been losing these games, this was the time where they were finally close and they had a shot and they couldn't pull it off, and he knew they were hurting, and he knew that bringing them down was only going to make his job harder. Whereas I think that if he had a situation where their confidence coming into the game had been a little higher and they made mistakes and they gave the game away, he would have come into that locker room and lit it on fire. I think Lebby is a smart coach. I think if you see how he comes across on this documentary, if you've talked to him in person, you get the impression that if he figures it out, and it really is just about surviving this season, showing improvement, getting yourself in a position in year three where your fan base is bought back into you. I think he had a lot of buy-in a year ago. And then, you know, when you lose to Toledo, you lose that buy-in. And that's absolutely 100% acceptable, 100% understandable. When you lose games like that, your fans are going to question you. I go back to something Lebby told us when we talked to him for the first time at SEC Media Days. He said, I want Mississippi State fans to know they've got the right guy. You can't go 2-10 and know that you got the right guy. But at the same time with Lebby, when you look at his style of offense and his style of coaching, if he can get things going in the right direction, that's going to put Mississippi State in a position to be successful. Now, can he do that is the question. And I don't know the answer to that, I'll be honest with you. Because I question his decision to keep Coleman Hutzler and his staff. I question some of the decisions that were made there as far as personnel on the coaching staff goes. One of us is right. Either I'm right and you should have made changes, and by not making changes you really hurt your ability to move forward at Mississippi State. Or he's right and continuity was important, and as soon as they upgraded the roster and they put some new pieces in place, we're going to see that Coleman Hutzler is a really good football coach, and he's going to be able to put together a tremendous season. And as I said before, we're going to know pretty early in the process with Mississippi State. That first game at Southern Mississippi, let's just be honest, all right? And if this hurts some Southern Mississippi fans' feelings, I'm sorry, but you know that I'm telling the truth, that an SEC team playing a Sun Belt team, that game should not be in question. So if it is in question, if we go into the third and fourth quarter and that game's not put away, or if Southern Mississippi has the lead, which is very, very possible, let's not kid ourselves for 1 second that Southern Mississippi is not only capable of making this an interesting game, but winning it. They absolutely are. It shouldn't be that way. And if it's not, if we go down there and Mississippi State wins the game easily, you can. The thing I've been saying over and over again is it's like a reboot. You just look at it and you say, all right, they figured it out. They're going to be okay. We can all move forward with our lives here. You can start looking ahead to Arizona State. Is that going to happen? I don't know. I'm going to know pretty early. Is there any coach in America that needs a three and out on the first drive of the season more than Coleman Hutzler does? Is there another coach in America that needs to score on the first drive of the season and to do it in such a fashion that you're just like, okay, it's going to be a long day for Southern Mississippi. I mean, you want to see them go out on that first drive, just run the football right down USM's throat, take advantage of the size advantage that they're going to have on the offensive line. And they are going to have that. They will have it, the offensive versus defensive line for Mississippi State versus Southern Mississippi. There is a noticeable difference between who USM is going to put out there on defense and who Mississippi State is going to put out there on offense. You know, looking at talking to some people around the program, it looks like Blake Steen has secured his spot, or at least is going to be the favorite to hold down that right tackle spot. Flapjack Owens, a guy that I just hope plays just because his name is Flapjack Owens. But it looks like he's running with the ones right now. I think that's great news for Mississippi State if he's able to come right in. Jimothy Lewis is a guy I'm extremely excited about long-term at Mississippi State. So I feel like if that offensive line group can do its job, and then you've got those running backs in Booth, Daniels, and, of course, Fluff Bothwell, if State can just go out there, control the line of scrimmage, run the football, keep it conservative, and beat USM easily, guys, that's the formula. That's what gets you thinking, okay, this team can beat Arizona State. That's what gets you thinking this team can, you know, really rebound and take advantage and be a bowl team in 2025. If the opposite of those things are true, this guy says the final will be Southern Miss 45, Mississippi State 3. There's a 0% chance of that. I'm just going to come out and tell you. If I'm wrong, I'll own it, but there is a 0% chance of that. You're not even being realistic. Like, I understand being a homer, but then there's being whatever you're being. All right, that's not a realistic score. Southern Mississippi, when's the last time they scored 45 points in a game? Well, never mind against an SEC team. When? I understand you want to cheer for your team. You want to be excited about Southern Mississippi. That's fine. But let's have a little bit of realism. I understand optimism, but it's too much. It's just way too much. Calm down is what I'm trying to tell you. Again, want to thank our friends. We are brought to you by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo, 46 years. That's how long they've been selling cars and building their community in North Mississippi, an award-winning service department. So when you've got a problem, their certified technicians in both the Honda and General Motors service centers are dedicated to proving they provide the best care for your car. GMC, Buick, Honda, or, you know, what my wife bought. She bought a Ford Edge, and looked really good doing it, so check it out. DossettBig4.com, or you can stop by the location, 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. Dossett Big Four, family-owned destination, 46 years of great vehicles and award-winning service. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll wrap things up here. Live from the Cotton District, the Knott Fall Camp Tour presented by Pearl River Resort. It's Thunder and Lightning live at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in Starkville.
Be sure. Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go!
Been a day out here in the Cotton District. Let's wrap it up. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. We are presented by Yingling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four. I could go for a Yingling Flight right about now. A cold, crisp, light beer. Sounds exactly what you need after a long day of work. And, of course, it's perfect on a Mississippi game day. America's oldest brewery presents its newest beer, Flight by Yingling. Check them out. 95 calories, 2.6 carbs. Crisp, light, and refreshing. Sounds good to me. I got a tweet just a minute ago. So I'm going to read this here. So what happens if State beats USM 38-10 and then turns around and gets beat by Arizona State 38-10? Then we're just kind of figuring it out, right? That's a middle ground kind of thing. That's where you think, okay, they're good enough to not get embarrassed the way they did a season ago when they played Toledo, but they're not going to be good enough to do a whole lot more than that. And so it becomes, can they beat Arkansas? You know, would four wins work? Do you look competitive in your losses? You got to remember, there's some losses last year where State wasn't competitive. They weren't competitive against Texas by and large. They weren't competitive against Arkansas, which is not, that's not acceptable at all. And so it's just about, they look better in that particular scenario. I will say this, though. I think that if Mississippi State beats Southern Mississippi by that margin, what's your scenario would be unlikely. I think State would be in much better shape. I don't know if they would beat Arizona State, but I think it would be a much closer game than that. So we shall see. This guy. I'm done reading this text. I got our friend Bubba in Starkville says Mississippi State will beat USM by 3 touchdowns. I don't know. I really don't have a good feel for this game, to be honest with you. And I know we're a couple, you know, we're what, 17 days away from kickoff. I'll have to make a prediction at some point. But if you asked me to make one today, I wouldn't feel very confident in it. I would pick State to win, but I don't necessarily know what the margin would be. And it's a wide margin, right? It's perfectly acceptable to think State wins this game by 30-plus. It's perfectly acceptable to think State wins this game by less than a touchdown. It's also perfectly acceptable to think that Southern Mississippi is going to win this game. You absolutely can do that. 45-3 is not realistic. Absolutely not realistic in any scenario. We went back and looked. Southern Mississippi, we couldn't find. We went to 2016. It's the last time Southern Mississippi beat an SEC team. They beat Kentucky. They scored 44 points in that game. In their last three games against Mississippi State, they scored 15, 16, and 0. So if you think it's going to be 45, well, I mean, this is the guy who has the bet with me that I'm getting 31.5 on this game. So just like I said, John, just make sure my $100 bill is nice and crisp. I don't want any old wrinkly one. I want one of these nice one, Ben Franklin looking just beautiful. Don't Venmo me. Just I'll come by your tailgate, and you just that's what I want from you when I get down to Hattiesburg. You don't know what Southern Miss has got, though. Well, I don't know what Southern Miss has got, the same way I don't know what Mississippi State has got. I will say that, by and large, Mississippi State has a more talented roster top to bottom. But Southern Miss is going to have I think Southern Miss is better at quarterback. I'll just come out and tell you. I think Braylon Braxton is a better quarterback. Likely Sun Belt Player of the Year last year. I think he'd be a great fit for what State does. They have the home field. I think State has the advantage on the line of scrimmage, which is, we'll see. He says, I know what State's got. How do I know what State has? This team hasn't played a game yet. I don't know what they have. I know what the recruiting rankings tell me they have. If I go by that, State would win. I don't know what Southern Miss or State has. There's two totally different teams than what they had a season ago. Completely different in almost every way. So the idea that I know one way or the other what State has and what Southern has is not true. It just isn't. So there it is. We got a long way. We got 17 more days before I got to lock in a prediction. I'm going to wait till the absolute last second to do it. I promise you that. I'm gonna get as much information on both sides as we can. I'll get some information on Southern Mississippi next week because the Not Fall Camp Tour will be live in Hattiesburg, presented by Pearl River Resort. We'll be live at Ed's Burger Joint next week on Wednesday. And again, we're trying to make sure we've got as many guests as we can. Hopefully Coach Charles Huff will be able to join us. Jeremy McLean, Southern Mississippi Athletic Director, will be able to join us, and so much more. So we shall see what next week's brings us. Until then, and of course, I know one thing next week is going to bring us. a Captain Crunch milkshake. It will. Don't be that way. That guy dropped a. He just said a swear word. That wasn't very nice. He said hotty toddy in Starkville, Mississippi. How could he? Don't let him eat in there. Get him out. All right. Big shout out to a lot of people who made today possible. Obviously, Alex in Houston, every time we're on the road, they make things work for us. They set everything up for us. And we had to do some finagling with the weather today. But as always, Houston made it work. Want to thank again Terry Powell, the owner here at Two Brothers, and Barton Dinkins, his general manager. What a great day for us here. Want to thank Richard Cross and Michael Borky. Want to thank everybody at Mississippi State for making this such a great day. Zach Selman, Jeff Lebby, Coleman Hutzler, Chris Jans, Brian O'Connor, Charlie Winfield, Sam Purcell, our guest here. And definitely want to thank all of the great fans who came out today, picked up some great gear from Gentile, picked up some prize packages from Pearl River Resort. That's it for me. Thunder and Lightning presented by Yuengling Light and Datsun Big Four. Rhino down in Studio X. I don't know if I ever thanked him, but I always do. See y'all next week.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.